hi some faces from the morning session. So this is the continuation of our newcomers track, especially designed for newcomers. But I'm sure if there are any people whose this is not their first ICANN meeting, this session will be very useful for them too. Because I have Marika with me here. She is our senior policy director, and she will be talking about the activities of the supporting organizations and their discussion points that will be popping up in their sessions throughout the week. So this is a good preparation for you to see which discussion can be viewed where. So I'll hand over to Marika now.
Thank you very much, Phyllis, for that introduction. So, as Phyllis said, my name is Marika Konings. I work in the policy department of ICANN. In that role, I'm actually mainly supporting the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, but also try to cover some of the other supporting organizations in these sessions. But I hope you forgive me if I don't know all the details of what they exactly do. But I have some colleagues that will be able to answer those questions throughout the week, hopefully. So as Phyllis said, the main objective of this session is to provide you with an overview of the activities of the supporting organizations within ICANN that are responsible for policy development. I want to highlight some of the main sessions that are taking place that you might have an interest in attending, and hopefully answer any questions that you might have. So just very briefly, for those of you that are new to ICANN, there are three organizations within ICANN that develop policy. So first of all, as I just said, the GNSO, which is the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few seconds. The CCNSO, which is the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. And then we also have the ASO, which is the Address Supporting Organization. And in addition to those bodies, there are also four other advisory committees that provide advice directly to the ICANN board. We're not covering their activities in these presentations, but I think you can see on the schedule that they also have a number of sessions throughout the week, and if you have an interest in their activities, you can attend those meetings as well. So, first looking at the GNSO. The GNSO deals with generic top-level domains, so they're really responsible for any policy development that takes place that affects generic top-level domains. So generic top-level domains cover .com, .net, .info, .museum. The new GTLD program is currently in its implementation phase. That is a policy that was developed by the GNSO as it affects generic top-level domains. The council itself is set up by 21 councillors that come from six different constituencies and stakeholder groups. And there are also a number of NOMCOM appointees. As you might know, there's a nominating committee within ICANN that appoints members to the different organizations within ICANN to ensure a balanced representation. So I think the main thing to know about the GNSO structure itself is that it's organized in two houses. So on the one hand side, we have the contracted party house, where you find the contracted parties that have a contract with ICANN, the registries and the registrars. And on the other side of the GNSO house, you'll find the non-contracted parties, which include the non-commercial interests, IPC, business, and ISPs. So that's a bit how the GNSO is organized. So within the GNSO, and I don't really want to go into too much detail here, there are several presentations that we've done on these issues. So if you have an interest, you can talk to me at the end of the session. I'm happy to send you the details on how policy development is done and then how people can get involved and what the different steps are. But just to give you a very general idea of what policy development is all about in the GNSO, it goes through different steps. So it starts out with an issue being raised by either one of the council members or the board or one of the advisory committees. The issue is raised, ICANN staff then prepares a paper outlining what the different issues are, asking a number of questions, assessing whether it's within scope of the GNSO Council to actually deal with that issue, because there might be issues that are not within the mandate of the GNSO Council to deal with. The council then decides whether to move ahead. They think it's appropriate to actually develop policy on such an area. They create a working group then, which is, and I think that's very important, especially for those interested in GNSO activities. All activities of the GNSO are normally open. So they create a working group that's for anyone interested, open to participate in. So that working group goes as well through several steps. There are always public comment periods involved, so there's always an opportunity, even if you, you know, don't want to volunteer your time or don't have time to participate, to provide your input at, you know, various steps through public comments or workshops that are being organized at ICANN meetings. So once a working group is done, they submit their recommendations to the GNSO Council, and then it moves through the voting and eventually ends up at the board for approval going to into implementation. So that's just a very brief snapshot of how the GNSO develops a policy. So what are the issues that they're discussing here this week? The GNSO Council actually already starts its work on Saturday morning. They usually use the weekend as their working session, so to go through some of the items that are going to be covered during the week. They prepare their agenda for their Open Council meeting, which takes place on Wednesday, and really use that time to dive deeper in some of the issues that, you know, they normally might not have time for on their conference calls that they have, like, every 3 weeks. So they're currently in session. Those meetings are also open for anyone interested, so you can, you know, just drop in and listen to what they're discussing. So throughout the week, there are several sessions at this meeting where a number of policy issues are being discussed. A first item that is a current policy development process within the GNSO deals with the inter-registrar transfer policy. That is actually a GNSO consensus policy. A consensus policy is one that applies to all registries and registrars that basically defines how domain names are transferred between registrars. So it sets out the different steps and procedures that need to be followed in order to do so. As part of the implementation of that policy, it was decided that a review needed to be conducted, and this is one of those reviews that is taking place currently, dealing with a number of issues ranging from what to do in the case of a hijacking to how should you deal with registrar locks. So that working group has actually produced a proposed final report and is looking for community input. So they are organizing a session on Monday from 11 to 12:30 to provide an overview of what is in the report, what the recommendations are, and hopefully get, you know, already some feedback or questions, and to encourage people to, you know, submit their comments on the public comment forum that's open at the same time. A similar story for post-expiration domain name recovery, the third issue that is on this slide. This is also a policy development process that is currently ongoing in the GNSO. That working group deals specifically with questions of what should happen after domain name expires. What opportunities should there be for registrants to recover their domain name after it has expired? What kind of notice should be given to registrants so, you know, they are aware that their domain name is about to expire? Should there be any messages on a website once it has expired for someone, you know, to provide some instructions on how they can renew a domain name? So this working group has also a proposed final report out for public comment, and this session is also intended to provide the community with an overview of what is in that report, to present the recommendations and encourage people to provide input on that report as the intention is, following public comment, to finalize that and submit that to the GNSO Council. And as said, if the GNSO Council adopts that, the next step would be for it to go to the board and to move into implementation. So it's very important that, you know, we get people's input at this stage. So if there are any serious concerns or issues that people identify, that they can be addressed at this stage. So that, as I just spoke briefly about the policy development process, there's actually currently a review going on of that policy development process, because it was initially adopted, you know, at the start of ICANN and the creation of the GNSO, and we've learned by practice that there are many issues that are not, you know, as it's currently written in the bylaws, that are not practical, that don't really work. More time is required. Some of the timelines are very stringent. The GNSO Council initially worked on the basis of task forces so that only members appointed could actually participate in the process, but I think they soon realized that it was very important to open it up to anyone interested, so they've moved to working groups. So as part of that review, a working team has been tasked to actually develop a new GNSO policy development process. So they have also put out for public comment now a proposed final report on how this new GNSO policy development process should look. So they're also presenting this on Wednesday. That's going to be in the main ballroom. Actually, the time has slightly changed. It's going to be 30 minutes shorter because due to some changes on the schedule, we had to accommodate that. So again, it's very important because, I mean, the policy development process is really the basis for everything the GNSO does. So we consider that a very important element of the work the GNSO is carrying out. And again, it's very important to get input on that now before it moves up and you know, goes towards adoption. If people have any concerns or any things they think could be improved, the working team is really looking for input and guidance on what they've put out. And then on Wednesday afternoon, I think the time that's set now is from 1:30 to, I believe, 5:30. But again, you'll need to check the schedule there because there have been some changes due to several moving elements on the ICANN meeting this week. So there's a council open meeting on Wednesday where they basically conduct their normal business as they would do on a council call. They normally have meetings every 3 weeks. They do that in public, and the difference is that they allow for public participation. So I think the way they normally work is that after every session, they allow for the community to provide input or ask questions or raise issues, so to have a more open dialogue. So that's it for the GNSO this week. I think I've picked out the main highlights. I mean, they work on a whole range of other issues as well, but these are the issues that they're actively discussing during the week this week. So then moving on to the country code supporting organization. So the country code supporting organization, they deal with the country codes, so the CCTLDs. Their members are CCTLD members. It's a voluntary, it's not all CCTLDs are members of the CCNSO. I think currently they have, 113 members. The council is the administrative bodies, they have 18 councillors, 15 appointed by members, and they also have three NOMCOM appointees, like the GNSO. So they focus on activities that relate to the CCTLD perspective. And like the GNSO, any recommendations that they produce also are submitted to the board for their consideration. So the CCNSO has a policy development model that's very similar to the GNSO, which I described briefly before. They also work in a system where issues are being raised and then move through the different steps. I think the main difference is that the CCNSO works on a longer timeline in general, because as well there's a much more back and forth between the members and the council as such. A big difference here as well that it's actually the members that vote, while in the GNSO council it's the council members that vote, but here an issue actually goes back at the end of the day to the broader membership, and there needs to be a certain voting threshold that needs to be passed among all the CCNSO members for a policy actually to become binding. And then again, after adoption, it's only applicable to the actual members of the CCNSO. While in the GNSO world, if a policy is adopted, applies to all the contracted parties that have a contract with ICANN, even those that might not come to ICANN meetings or are a member of some of the stakeholder groups or constituencies. So what are the issues that they are discussing? They're discussing the CCNSO IDN. They have a specific IDN session on Monday where they discuss they have a PDP ongoing that's looking at IDNs. The JIG working group, that's actually a working group that they have together with the GNSO, that's also looking at IDN-related issues. They are in the process of establishing a study group on the use of country names. Again, that's a group where they've also invited participation from, amongst others, the GNSO. So as you can see there, as there's a lot of crossover and issues, there's a lot of cooperation as well between the different organizations. There's also a CCNSO members meeting, which will look at the activities of the delegation and redelegation working group. They also discuss CC dispute resolution. That session is taking place on Tuesday, the whole day. There's another CCNSO members meeting on Wednesday, which includes, amongst others, a security session, and where they're going to focus on DNSSEC and the implementation of that. And all the meetings are open to CCTLD managers and also others interested in the process. So lastly, but not least, the address supporting organization that deals with the numbers part within ICANN. So they're actually set up through a memorandum of understanding between ICANN and the number resource organization, the NRO. They work very differently if you compare them to the CCNSO and the GNSO, as they only deal with what they call global policies. Normally, they really work on a regional level, and if you have any questions on that, I'm sure Felice will be able to answer those because she's been closely involved in their activities. So they work through what they call regional internet registries. So each region has one regional internet registry, so AFRINIC for Africa, APNIC for Asia Pacific, ARIN, North America, LACNIC, South America, and RIPE for Europe. So, and they incorporate through the NRO, the number of resource organizations. So a lot of their policy development actually happens on a regional level. So they develop policy on a regional basis, and only those policies that they deem have a global impact move all the way up to the top level of the ASO. So as I said, those are then the global policies. So for it to become a global policy, they need to be agreed by all RIRs and then channeled through the ASO and then ratified by the ICANN board before they're actually implemented. And as I said, as the ASO mainly works at a regional level, they don't have many meetings that they conduct at ICANN sessions. I think they had a big meeting actually at the last meeting because I think they did realize that it would be important to actually reach out and you know, give people a greater understanding of the activities they undertake and the work they're doing. So they do have a session here on Wednesday, and where they're looking at the IP addressing activities. So Wednesday from 1 to 3. So I think that's really in a nutshell the highlights of policy activities this week. I know I'm presuming that many of you have different levels of knowledge on what you know, the different bodies are doing. You might have more interest in one or the other. Here I've actually provided some links. What the policy department does is we provide a policy update webinar, normally just preceding an ICANN meeting. It's a 90-minute session where we really go more into depth into all the policy issues that are taking place in the different supporting organizations. We try to cover the status, you know, what are the next steps, how people can participate. So you find here the link to the recording of that and the slides. So if you have an interest to really learn more about some of these issues, I would really recommend you to have a look at that and learn more about that. And as I said, we try to run them before every ICANN meeting, so you know, look out for our announcement for the next meeting in Singapore, and we hope it provides a good opportunity for people to prepare before they go to an ICANN meeting so they know what is going to be discussed, what materials they should review, what opportunities there are to participate and provide input on the different items. So you also have here the links. Each of the supporting organizations, of course, has their own website within ICANN, so there you can also find more information. And then I've included in the slide, because as said, I'm mainly working with the GNSO, so I'm happy to answer any questions on that. On some of the other items, it might be more difficult for me to give you a detailed answer, but I provided here the pictures of all my colleagues that are responsible for the different supporting organizations as well as the advisory committee. So if you see them throughout the week in the hallway, just you know, catch them and have a chat with them and then see if they can answer your questions if you have any further details that you would like to know about the activities of the supporting organizations. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Marika. I guess everything is very clear. No questions. And there is no questions from the chat room either. This session was also was open for remote participation, and there was some chat going on. So thanks for attending. After this, we have new GTLD basics. That's you, Carla. Okay, we will hand over to Carla. Michelle. But okay, Michelle. And I guess you will start by the clock at the half, yeah? So that gives like a 5 minutes break for everybody. Thank you.